Going to take our lesson from the Gospel of John this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. We want to begin our reading at verse 46, read through verse 50. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning our reading in verse 46 in the New King James Version. Jesus says, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Most of the major points of our lesson this morning, as well as our theme, will be taken from this passage of Scripture. In our reading a little earlier this morning, in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6, we learn that Isaiah had predicted that Christ would indeed be rejected. That is, he would be refused when he came to this earth and to his own people. He would be despised, he would be disregarded as the Christ, the Son of God. In Isaiah 53 and in verse 3, can you imagine someone who would think about rejecting Jesus Christ, but yet he was disregarded and despised when he came to this world? Can you imagine someone who was wounded for our transgressions, that is, pierced through for our sins? Can you imagine him being rejected, disregarded, despised? But yet he was. Can you imagine this one who came and was pierced through for our transgressions, for our sins? Can you imagine him giving his soul, that is his life, as an offering for our sins? This was the one who was rejected. The one who gave his very soul, his very life, for our sins as a sacrifice. There was a sad fulfillment of Isaiah's prediction in Jesus' day when he came. Because he came to his own people, but his own people rejected him. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That is, he came to his own land, to his own country, and to his own people, that is, to the Israelites, the Jewish people. But they did not receive him. They rejected him. They refused him. They disregarded him. A sad fulfillment of Isaiah's prediction indeed. John, in his gospel account, presents seven miracles or seven signs that Jesus performed to prove that he was the suffering servant, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You might say it's a book of evidence to prove that. As he tells us in John 20 and verse 30 and following, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing that you may have life in his name, that is, in him." But the book of John, the Gospel of John, is not only a book of evidence to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. We also learn from the Gospel of John that he was rejected, refused and disregarded, not only by his own people, but by the people of that age. But hopefully for us, if we see the seriousness of rejecting Christ, we'll be encouraged or motivated to respond to him in obedience instead of rejecting him outright. And so this morning, we want to concern ourselves with the subject or the theme of rejecting Christ. Because those who reject crash, actually deprived themselves of sonship. Of sonship. Back in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, as many as received him, as many as accepted him as the Christ, the Son of God, he gave them the right to become children of God. Note that. He gave them the right. Just because they accepted him, just because they received him, didn't make them children of God. But it gave them the right or the power or the authority then to become children of God. So those who rejected him, disregarded him, and refused him as the long-awaited Messiah that was promised to come, they deprived themselves of this sonship. They deprived themselves of being children of God. If you reject him, you cannot be a son of God. If you reject Christ, you cannot be a child of God. God's children have special honors. 1 John 3 and in verse 1. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, his children, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. What an honor. And what an honor has been bestowed upon us to be called children of God. Because we've not rejected, we've not disregarded or refused him. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. God's children not only have special honor, not only receive the love as God's children, but we have the opportunity of having a certain and special disposition that others of the world simply do not have. We're able to call upon God as our Father. For as many, Romans 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. The word spirit there shouldn't be capitalized, spirit of adoption. Spirit here has reference to an attitude or disposition as one who's been adopted, accepted into a family. God has adopted us into his family. And now we can cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Aramaic term, simply for Father. We can cry out, Father, Father. So we have a special disposition that those of the world do not have, and indeed a special honor to call upon God as our Father. But not only that, being children of God, we're heirs. Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Yes, we're heirs of God. That means there's an inheritance for us. There is something awaiting us that our Father is going to give us, an inheritance. What an honor. What a promise. We live this life and we might receive some inheritance from those who've gone on before us, or we might not. But living as children of God, there is a promise of an inheritance awaiting us. 1 Peter 1 and in verse 3. Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Note this, to an inheritance, incorruptible. That means it's not subject to decay or rot. Undefiled. It's not sullied or polluted in any way. And that does not fade away. That is, it lasts forever. That inheritance is there, waiting, and it'll last forever. Amen. Reserved in heaven for you. That is, if you've not rejected, if you've not disregarded Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. Those who reject Christ deprive themselves of this sonship. They deprive themselves of this honor. They deprive themselves of these promises. and these privileges that we have as being children of God. Those who reject Christ also not only deprive themselves of sonship, but they choose darkness in preference to light. They choose darkness in preference to light. We studied this morning in our study of 1 John the difference between darkness and light. In the Bible, light is always in reference to that which is godly, that which is truth, that which is righteousness, that which is holiness. It always has reference to the realm in which God dwells. Darkness is the realm of Satan and sin and evil and spiritual ignorance and superstition. And so those who reject Christ, those who reject the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, they choose darkness rather than light. John 12 and verse 46 in our text we began our lesson with. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world. He who believes in me should not abide in darkness. But yet some who reject Christ choose darkness rather than light. I have come as a light into the world. He leads our way. He guides us in this life. He is the truth. As long as we walk in that light or walk in that truth, as long as we follow Him and His teaching, we'll not be abiding in darkness. We'll be abiding in the light. As we learned this morning in 1 John 1 and verse 5, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Absolutely no darkness at all in God. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world. I am the light of the world, He says in another place. Just as God is, so is Christ. But yet those who reject Christ choose darkness rather than light. In John 3 and in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Light has come into the world. Christ came into the world. He is that light. Just as God is light, Christ is light. And He came into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. They chose darkness rather than light. They chose Satan and sin and ignorance and superstition and wickedness and evil and immorality and unrighteousness over God, over Christ. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know what light does? Light shows. I'm able to see the print on this page because of the light on it. It illuminates it. Men love darkness rather than light because light illuminates their error. Light illuminates their immorality. Light illuminates their sin. That's why they love darkness. So it can be hidden. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Light exposes man's sin. That's what light does. Light shows you your imperfections. When you look into the Word of God and follow the light, follow the truth, follow Jesus Christ's teaching, it shows you your imperfections. It illuminates your sin. But he who does the truth, the one who follows the light, comes to the light and his deeds may be clearly seen. That, in order that, or so that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they've been done in God, in union and in fellowship with God. Which is it you love? Light or darkness? Have you rejected Christ and chosen darkness in preference to light so that your sin might continue to remain hidden? Those who choose the darkness of sin have simply chosen a life of uncertainty. In John 12 and verse 35, Jesus said, a little while longer the light is with you. Remember, He is the light. Walk while you have the light. Lest darkness overtake you, lest sin overtakes you, lest spiritual ignorance overtakes you. He who walks in darkness, he who walks in sin, the one who lives in sin, the one who practices sin, does not know where he is going. Why? Because he's in darkness. He can't see where he's going. He can't look down the road and see that what he's doing today is going to have a profound impact on his destiny. The one who walks in darkness can't see that. They don't realize that what a man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. But those who walk in darkness, they do not see where they're going. They do not see the consequences of their sin. They do not see the consequences of their immorality and unrighteousness. They don't see the consequences of what's happening today bringing about their eternal destiny. Now this is something that modern man has really grasped hold of. You know, sometimes great weight loss sale will say, well, if you could imagine yourself looking in the mirror and seeing yourself after you've lost 5, 10, 20, 30 pounds, you're able to see down the road when you imagine that. Well, those who walk in darkness, they can't imagine what it's going to be like down the road. They don't know where they're going. They can't see where they're going. Because darkness has blinded their minds. And they simply cannot perceive and understand and comprehend that the way they're living today, what it's going to be like 10, 20, 30 years, eternity down the road. Amen. Those who reject Christ simply reject the light of life. John 8 in verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. There it is. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me, follow the light, follow the light. If we'll go to the light, if we'll go to Jesus Christ, the light has come into the world, all we've got to do is follow the light. I don't know if you've ever been lost or not and had to follow a light. I have. When you follow a light, it'll guide you. You just keep looking at the light and walking toward the light and you'll get to where you're going. You'll get to that light. Follow the light. It guides you. It leads you. What do the ships coming across the ocean do? They look at the lighthouses. Follow the light. They know they're on course. All they've got to do is follow the light. Perhaps you're going down the highway and there's lights on each side of the road. Follow the light. You stay on course. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. You'll not walk in sin. You'll not live in superstition and spiritual ignorance. You'll have the light of life. You'll have the light that brings life. Because the light leads to life. The light will guide you to life. Jesus is that light. And so those who reject Him reject the light that leads to life. And one simply cannot really live apart from the light. He cannot really live apart from Christ. Oh, he might exist, but he'll not really live. John 10 and verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life. I am the light of the world, the light. If one leads, is led by the light, if one follows the light, it'll lead to this life, that they may have it more abundantly. Yes, one might exist without following the light. but he'll not really live. He'll not have an abundant life. You have that abundant life in Christ Jesus. Those who reject Christ not only choose darkness in preference to light, they'll also choose a lost condition instead of salvation. A lost condition instead of salvation. John 12 and verse 47. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, note this, does not believe what? Does not believe my word. That kind of goes back to Mark 16, 15 and 16, doesn't it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes what? He who believes the gospel. So if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world. That's right. When Christ first came into the world as the light, he didn't come to judge the world. He'll do that the next time he comes. But the first time he came into the world as the light of the world, he came to save the world. But those who reject him, they choose a lost condition instead of salvation. Think about being lost. In Luke 19 in verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Perhaps we can't fully comprehend and understand what lost really means unless you've ever been lost. Most people haven't. But God is concerned with those who are lost. Those who are lost are outside of salvation. Those who are lost are not saved. Jesus speaks of those who are lost and God's concern and love for them. In Luke 15 in verse 3 he said, "So he spoke this parable to them saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." That sheep that was lost might as well have been dead. Because if a shepherd doesn't find a lost sheep, it is simply prey for the wild animals. "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Then he also spoke of a lost coin. But in verse 11 he began to speak of a lost man. And it's clear in this context to see that his father is God. "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days afterwards, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" Note that, "I perish. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer to be worthy to call your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again.'" The son was as good as dead to the father physically. But the point under consideration in this parable is that when one is lost, he is reckoned as dead, spiritually dead, separated from God, out of fellowship with God. So we see the seriousness of lost condition. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, Paul reckons it as drowning. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown, plunge, sink men in destruction, that is, in eternal ruin and perdition or destruction. Into ruin and destruction. That is the loss of one's eternal well-being. Jesus reckoned it as perishing. In John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish." That is, come to eternal ruin, have the loss of eternal well-being. He is deprived of that. He is spoken of as perishing. Instead, the one who will receive Jesus Christ, does not reject Him, does not disregard Him, will be saved. Because that's what Jesus came to do. Matthew 1 and verse 21, "The angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph said that Mary would bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For," there's that little Greek conjunction gar, gives a reason why he's to be called Jesus. The word Jesus means Jehovah or Yahweh is salvation. Jesus is salvation. "For he will save his people from their sins." But those who reject Christ, they choose to be lost instead of choosing to be saved. Those who reject Christ also choose death, spiritual death over spiritual life. In John 12 in verse 49 and following, "For I have not spoken on my own authority," Jesus speaking, "but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." So God the Father gave Jesus command what he should say and what he should speak. Thus, to hear God speak is to hear Christ speak. That is, they're unified in what they have to say. Well, what do they have to say? "I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Those who reject Christ choose death instead of everlasting life. God says, "Believe on my Son, Jesus Christ, and you'll have everlasting life." Jesus says the same thing. They're unified in that which they say regarding spiritual life and spiritual death. Spiritual death is simply a separation from God, as physical death is a separation of the soul of man from his physical body. Spiritual death is a separation of man from his God. In Ephesians 2 and in verse 1, Paul, speaking of the Ephesians, said, "And you, he that is God made alive." Now, he's writing to people who are very much alive physically, but God has made them alive. He's made them alive spiritually. He says, "Who were dead," not physically dead, but spiritually dead, "in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." That is, they walked in darkness. "According to the prince of the power there, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh," Paul including himself, "fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So people in sin are dead spiritually. They're separated from God. Those spiritually dead simply cannot appreciate the blessings that one has, though, when he is spiritually alive, because they're spiritually dead. But when one is spiritually alive, he has all blessings in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, in union and in fellowship with Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Note this. "Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself." How did we become sons or children of God? God predestined that through our belief in Jesus as the Son of God. "According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In Christ, we're acceptable to God. Outside of Christ, we're not acceptable to God. In Christ, we're children of God. Outside of Christ, we're not. Spiritually dead, we're not children of God. Spiritually dead, we're not acceptable to God. We can only enjoy those blessings in Christ Jesus, being spiritually alive. In Him, we have redemption. We have deliverance from our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thus, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. Those spiritually dead simply cannot appreciate these blessings that we, as children of God, have in Jesus Christ. Those who are spiritually dead face the horrible prospect of eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. The wages, that which you earn or merit. But if you're walking in darkness, you can't see what you're earning or meriting. Walk in the light. You'll receive the gift of God, the gift of eternal life. God is good. He is gracious, He is merciful, He is long-suffering and kind. Think of being forever separated from these blessings. If you reject Jesus Christ, you're choosing eternal separation from God. When you choose eternal separation from God, think of eternal darkness. All unrighteousness, all immorality, all evil, all wickedness, all ungodliness. That's what you're choosing in spiritual death. How do people reject Christ? They reject Christ when they reject His Word. He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. When he came the first time, he didn't come to judge. But when he comes the next time, he will come to judge the world. We reject Christ when we reject his word. Those who reject the word of Christ are those who have chosen to be lost over chosen to be saved. They've chosen eternal separation from God rather than eternal life. The choice is yours. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Now you can choose to do that, or you can reject Him, disregard Him, refuse Him. Which will it be? It's your choice. Revelation 3 and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." It's your choice. Will you refuse? Will you reject? The choice is yours. But if you reject Christ, you will be rejected by Christ. Mark 8, verse 38. "Whoever's ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Don't reject Christ. Don't disregard him. He is the Son of God. He is the light of this world. Follow the light. It leads to life. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to become obedient to the word. Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you reject that word, you reject Jesus Christ. As a child of God, if you have sin in your life, you're unwilling to confess that sin, to repent of it. You're rejecting the word. You're rejecting Christ. Get your life right with Christ before it's too late. As we stand and sing the song that has been selected.